But right now, pleased to have with us the managing director of CUMTD, the Mass Transit District. It's Carl Gannett, who's made his way over here, I assume, from the... Is your office at the terminal?
Good morning.
Good morning. No, it's a big building over on University, isn't it?
Yeah, we're out in the east side of Urbana.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you. Thanks for making your way over here. Did you take the bus?
I didn't.
There's a lot going on here around town transportation-wise. So wanted to see what was top of your list here. What's the biggest thing you're working on right now with CUMTD?
Well, we've got a lot going on. Every year around this time of the year, we're getting ready for new service changes. We make changes to our schedules and routes once a year, and we do that as the fall semester starts for the University of Illinois. So in August, we'll launch the new service, although this year it's just minor tweaks here and there. But we're all getting ready for that, and we've held public hearings, and we're doing new schedule books and shelter boards at bus stops and all of that. So it's kind of everybody's doing the full court press working on that. But then in addition to that, we've got some exciting things going on, like we've kicked off our hydrogen fuel cell buses, that project. And so we've met with the bus manufacturer and the consultants and engineers that will be making modifications to our buildings and building the hydrogen production facility. And that is just a way cool project that we're working on. And, of course, I spend a fair amount of time on the Illinois Terminal Expansion Project. Yeah. So, yeah, got a lot going on.
You have a full plate.
Yes, you
indeed. You've been gracious enough to say you take calls for folks who have questions about MTD service. So we'll go ahead and take one here. Sam's on the line. Good morning, Sam. You're on with Carl Gannett.
I would like the director to... explain to me how they get their head count. I know they don't use the fare box like some cities, and I'd just like to have him explain to me how they arrive at the number of riders.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
No, I'll listen. I'd like to listen.
Sure. Go ahead, Carl.
Sure. So we've got a really great system that's called an automatic passenger counter. So every door on every bus has this infrared curtain that counts every body that gets, and I'm saying every body, not everybody, that gets on the bus, although it does everybody too. And this is a really, really high-tech system. It was developed by a German firm, and, not to be too maudlin here, but it actually was a technology that came out of Berlin that they used on the old Berlin Wall to find out when people were crossing that border. So, you know, that's kind of creepy, but it's a technology that works. And, of course, we're many, many decades past that, and it's advanced. And we go out sampling every week. We actually have people go out on the bus and count the passengers with their own eyeballs, and then compare that to the APCs, the automatic passenger counters, to verify that they are accurate. And we expect those to always be 95% or better in accuracy.
I suppose somebody could cross the threshold accidentally a couple of times. That might throw off the count a little bit. But.
Well, sure. And that, that's part of that 5% inaccuracy. There's a very complex algorithm that goes on with the APCs, and it actually, and I would not be able to explain it to you, but it actually accounts for, say, the bus driver getting on and off, and that kind of thing. And so it washes out those extra counts, and when we do the sampling, we are always within that 5% accuracy range, or 95% accuracy range, and many times, most times, closer. So it's a very effective system. It's a very effective algorithm.
Sam, anything else there for Carl?
Well, yeah. Are you sure that in your system, that every time you go by a kiosk, since they're all wired with infrared, that they don't just automatically click because of the students who pay the fee in a tuition, and you have the right to claim X amount of rides a day. Are you sure that's not the way it works, other than people getting on and off?
I am quite positive, 110% positive, that that's not how it works. It works only by counting people who break the infrared curtain as they get on the bus. And that infrared curtain even detects the direction that the body is passing through the curtain, so it can tell whether a person is getting on the bus versus getting off. It can determine whether two people are walking side by side through the curtain. It's very, very sophisticated, and I am absolutely 100% certain that it doesn't count people standing next to the bus.
Thanks. If anyone else has questions or comments for Carl Gannat, you can call us at 356-9397. As always, at Castle Heating and Cooling text lines 351-5357. You're always, I'm sure there's folks always wanting a bus closer to them, and I know the Southwest Champaign has been a place you've been looking at to add some on-demand service, which I never really knew that was a possibility. Is this kind of a new way of trying to do things? I know this has been in Southwest Champaign. There's a proposal for doing that.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. This is one of those everything old is new again. So it is new, and we're going to be taking a new approach to it. But this is actually something that we did about 10 years ago. We used to have something called the Southwest Direct Service, and we had a defined area with boundaries in the Southwest Champaign area and an on-demand van that operated in that area. And people would call a specific phone number, and that was the mobile phone that operator had in the vehicle with them. And then they'd schedule a trip with that operator, and they'd go pick them up and take them somewhere in that boundary or to connect at a transfer point to other routes to go throughout the community. And so that direct service went away a couple years ago, and we introduced the pink route that ran through Southwest Champaign, but in the last year we annexed some additional territory out there, and the pink route does not accommodate the entire Southwest Champaign area, and so we're looking at reintroducing a direct service. This time, however, instead of using mobile phones that our operator would answer, we're going to have an app-based system that is very, very similar to Lyft or Uber. And so a customer at their house will schedule a ride on the app on their phone, and that driver will get it on their mobile data terminal in the vehicle. They go pick them up and do the same thing. They can take them to another location within that boundary, or they can take them to the transfer point so that they can hook up with a fixed route to go somewhere else in the community.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool that technology is coming here to Champaign-Urbana. Next up on the phones for you, Carl, is Ken. Good morning, Ken. You're on with Carl Gannat from the Mass Tangent District.
Thank you. Mr. Gannat, how many retirees do you think that you have at that organization right now?
Wow, I wouldn't even know where to begin on guessing how many retirees we have. Do you mean how many retirees we have that still work? Because we do have probably 10 or 15 individuals who have retired, but they come back on a part-time basis and work for us. But I'm not sure if that's what you mean or if you just mean total people that have retired.
Well, just total people, but that's okay also. If I can make a comment, if that would be all right, is that okay, sir?
It's okay with me.
All right. Well, I have wanted to say hi to you. I haven't talked to you for a while. And my name's Ken. You'll recognize me here in a minute. I just want to let the people know that after 38 and a half years of being employed there, that's been one of the greatest things that I've accomplished in my lifestyle. And you, sir, along with Mr. Volk, was able to arrange things for people at work there that I couldn't have got a better retirement plan if I'd have paid somebody twice as much. I just want to let everybody know that it was a great place to work. It still is. And I appreciate everything that the organization has done for me and provided for me.
Well, thank you, Ken. I do recognize your voice, a 38-year employee. You did a great job while you were with us, and we miss you.
I tell you what, I go by there once in a while, and I'm like, I've had some health issues, getting better, but, you know, I just, but people that's never worked there or rode a bus, they just don't understand, to me, they don't understand what they're missing and how great the organization really is. And I know you didn't pay me to say this, so, but sir, I do thank you a lot, and I hope to see you within the, before the summer's over sometime.
Yeah, sounds all good. Right. Thanks, Ken.
No money has changed hands here. We appreciate right. the call, 356-9397. But a new way, relatively new, to change money with if you take a ride is the app on the phone. How's that going?
Wow, that was a great segue, let me just say. So
hey, a broken clock is right sometimes, right?
Very smooth. So, yeah, we a couple months ago, we introduced a new app again. It's called Token Transit, and that's a third-party vendor that we have entered into this relationship with. And so people can buy either a one-trip ride or multiple trips, a monthly pass, an annual pass. They can do that in this app. And so they just show the digital pass on their smartphone to the operator instead of us issuing them a pass like we still do for people who choose to do that. But this is a quicker, more effective, and certainly more convenient for the customer way of doing it. And it's been really well received. I think as people's current annual passes expire, that many, many people will switch over to the Token Transit version of it, and so the numbers will really start to ramp up.
Carl Gunat is with us. He leads the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. He's the managing director. I want to ask you about the Illinois Terminal expansion. Obviously, there's the focus is whether or not an arena will go in for Illinois hockey and some other sports as well. How does that impact, and it seems likely now that it's based on the way you're hearing some of the major players, particularly Athletic Director Josh Whitman, talk about it, but whether it does or doesn't happen here in downtown, how does that impact the expansion plans for the terminal?
Yeah. So there are a lot of different layers to this project, which is one of the complicated aspects that takes up a lot of time. That we have a need, just from a transportation perspective, to expand transit services at Illinois Terminal. We are at capacity with the number of buses that can fit in, within the footprint of the current Illinois Terminal. And so we need to increase the capacity for buses at Illinois Terminal, and that is irrespective of what happens with the university and a hockey team. So regardless of whether that happens with the university, we need to do this, and we plan on moving forward with that. We also have established a partnership with Hans Grotelution and his development team, and so I think even, again, irrespective of whether or not something happens with the hockey arena, that MTD and Hans's group will do something in addition to just expanding the literal transportation aspect of Illinois Terminal. So I think you will see some additional mixed-use development that is directly linked and associated with what we do with Illinois Terminal. And that could be tenant space. It may or may not, if there's no arena, it may or may not include a hotel like Hans is currently planning. But it could, and maybe it would just be a smaller one. It may or may not include a conference center, but it might just be a smaller one. It may or may not include a residential tower, or it might just be a smaller one. So, you know, there are still a lot of variables at play with that, but I think that you will absolutely still see something happening. It's just to what scale will it happen if the arena doesn't happen. If the arena happens, you know, then it's an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10, and it's going to be the full-blown enchilada.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. All right, a texter here says, I've heard claims, this is Bill on the text line, I've heard claims of 11 to 12 million riders per year for Mass Transit District. That's over 32,000 riders per day every day. All the empty buses tell me that's impossible. First of all, those numbers jive with what you know is your ridership.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll end this year right around 12 million. We were just a hair over 12 million last year. And again, those numbers, those are very real numbers. We use the APCs to count. Those are extremely accurate. And so here's the deal. That average is not a good way to spread the numbers throughout the year because it gives you a unrealistic picture. The reality is that during the school year, when the University of Illinois is in session, there are days, many, many days, weekdays, that we carry 65,000 to 70,000 passengers per day. Now, there are some weekends in the middle of the summer where we are carrying 10,000 a day. So there's a lot of variability from day to day and from season to season in that. So if you just take a number and you divide it by 365, you're going to get a goofy picture, and you should not use that to inform your feelings about the district. Now, let me talk about an empty bus. I'm not sure what this texter, what it is that actually offends them about seeing an empty bus, but I will say this. There are times when buses are traveling around the community and they are empty. And that could be they're not in service. Maybe they're going back to the garage. It could be that they're at the end of the line and so they've let all the passengers off. Or it could be that day where we're only carrying 10,000 people and so we're not carrying as many people that day. My question to you would be, what is it about that offends you? Do you also get offended about the soccer mom that is going to pick up her kid, but on the way there, she's the only one in her car, and it's just on the way back that she has her kid and her neighbor kid in the car with her? So you're offended on the way there, but not on the way back. Are you offended when you go on the highway at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there are only three cars on the highway instead of 300 in the middle of the afternoon? I don't get it.
I suspect, and I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, I suspect because numbers relate to taxation, that's probably where some people don't like it. Have you heard that before? Is that been an issue that's come up?
Of course, but you know, the highway is the same thing, right? I mean, that's more highly subsidized than transit. The road system receives a higher level of taxed subsidy than transit.
And of course, a highway can be very busy and it can be very empty.
That's right. But they build for capacity. And that's the same thing that we do with transit. We operate for capacity. And that means that there are times that we're under capacity. And so there are going to be times when there's only one or two people on a bus. And maybe sometimes there won't be anyone on a bus.
Carl Gannett is with us here on Penny for Your Thoughts. And you can weigh in here. We are running up on the clock, but we can try and squeeze one more call in just a moment. Okay, here we go. This is Mark. All right. Mark, you're on with Carl.
Yeah. I'm really not that offended about how many people are on the bus at any given time. But I'm very offended when a friend of mine is in an accident on the bus, is an incomplete quadriplegic, and your entity, the MTD, falsifies a driver's report and loses one, literally states there's no video of an accident, and then a year and a half later creates a document that says there was an accident. I witnessed it as a bus driver, and I did all this, which was totally fabricated. And I don't know that anything will come of this, but I do believe vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and anybody who's aware of what happened within the organization is walking in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Are you aware of what happened to Sam Huntington?
Thank you, Mark. Carl, I don't know if you can or are prepared to speak to that.
I don't think that's worthwhile to respond to.
Okay, we'll just move on. I wanted to ask you, circle back here on these hydrogen fuel cell buses, because it's a process to, you know, we have hydrogen all over the place, right? It's in the air.
Right.
What is the process you have to go through to get it? Is it a massive process?
It's amazingly simple. You take water, and you split the molecules into hydrogen and oxygen. And you do that through a process called electrolysis. And so it's a
you're giving some people nightmares of chemistry class. Others, like myself, I enjoyed chemistry. I liked it, but
okay. So I'll just keep it really simple and brief. It's a very, very safe process. You're just splitting water molecules into oxygen and hydrogen. You release the oxygen into the air, and you capture the hydrogen, and then we store it and inject that into the hydrogen tanks on the bus. Then the bus takes the hydrogen out of those tanks and puts it into a fuel cell, and the fuel cell combines the oxygen that is in the air with that hydrogen, recreating water. And that chemical process creates energy, which is then captured and used in the electric motors that powers the bus.
Pretty cool. And yeah, this will all get in place for 2019, 2020.
Yeah, we expect to get the buses maybe by the very, very end of 2019, certainly within the first quarter of 2020.
Carl, we've come to the end of our line here. We've come to the end of our route, but I'd love to do it again.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Carl Gannat from the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. We're back in just a moment.